Well, I'm continuing in this series because we have to understand that once we became in Christ, we are new creatures. Old things, well, why don't we turn there? I know I didn't pray, but he told me to just keep go, and so I'm going to go. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17 and 19. This is the New King James. And then I'm going to share it in the Wade translation. Before I do it, I need everyone to look in that direction and go like this. And then say, "Welcome, Brother Jill and Jerron. Good to see you." Okay. It's always good to see you. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 19, New King James Version. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now, the Wade translation says, "So if anyone becomes united with Christ, he is a fresh creation. The original conditions have passed away. Mark, they have been replaced by new conditions." Now, it's very important to understand, it doesn't say old things have been refurbished. It says they've been passed away and they've been replaced by new conditions. There's something called determinisms, which is just simply, a determinism means that you are who you are because of a certain set of circumstances. Either it can be environmental, you know, like if you grew up in the projects, so you develop certain attitudes and things because you're in the projects. Or you develop certain attitudes because of something someone has been saying to you over the years. You know, like if someone says, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're never going to amount to anything, you have a low expectation of yourself. Or you are who you said you are who you are because of your DNA. You know, doctors will tell you, you go there and they'll say your blood pressure's a little high, your sugar's a little high, and they say, "Well, you know, that's normal with African Americans." No, it's normal with people who don't eat properly. But they'll tell you that, and people will pattern their lives after that. But once we became new creatures in Christ Jesus, there's something called an in Christ determination, where now your life is determined by Christ. And you have to know that. You have to know it exists. And you have to choose to let it be so in your life. Because if you don't, all you have had was an emotional moment. But if you act on them, you'll become them. All, you know, it says, "Behold, all things have become new." Well, you want to operate in that newness. Look at Matthew 9. I just want you to know how important it is to act on what you believe. Matthew 9, verse 27 to 31 in the Message Bible. It says, "As Jesus left the house, he was followed by two blind men crying out, 'Mercy, Son of David, mercy on us.' When Jesus got home, the blind men went in with him. Jesus said to them, 'Do you really believe I can do this?' They said, 'Why, yes, Master.' He touched their eyes and said, 'Become what you believe.'" And it says, "It happened, they saw." They became what they believed. If you don't believe you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, you won't become a new creature in Christ Jesus. All of the benefits of being a new creature in Christ Jesus, you won't experience. Not because it's not so, but because you don't believe it. And you don't act on it. Believing and acting like you believe. Believing and acting like you believe. One of the reasons we don't believe is we put too much emphasis on our past. and we cause ourselves to think, well, maybe I'm not worthy. Yeah, I know I'm saved, but I'm not one of God's special folks because, you know, I had 3 abortions or I was in jail or whatever the situation is. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. All things. We confessed this before. We're going to do it again. Turn to look at someone and say, your past is not a prophecy of your future. Look at someone else. Your life will always be in front of you. You will never find your life behind you. So you always want to be looking forward. Forward. Look at Philippians 3. It's King James Version. Verse 13 and 14. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. And again, me being me, I had some questions about that. I wasn't questioning its validity, but I was questioning what would make someone press to that degree. I mean, do you understand what pressing is? I mean, pressing is what I'm doing right now. I'm serious. Pressing is, it's what I'm doing right now. Okay, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how this body feels, I'm doing what God has called me to do. I could be home with 3 blankets because the thermometer said that my temperature was 102.9. So I could be home nursing myself back to health. But that's not what I was called to do. I was called to be here, so I press. That's why God gave me, that's one of the reasons God gave me the wife he did, who can help me press. No, you need help. You need help. You need encouragement. But Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize. And I'm like, okay, why forget? Because some of the thoughts from our past we like. I mean, let's just be real. We like them. Some of them were very enjoyable, and we like them. So why forget them and press? Look at Timothy 4. Because it's a very, very simple answer. That's a good question. I just put Timothy. This is I think it's 2 Timothy 4. That's when the Apostle Paul is saying that he's about to die. I've run my course. Did you find it?
Yes.
Yeah, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 to 8. I'm in the Message Bible. Paul is telling Timothy, you take over. I'm about to die. My life and offering on God's altar. Then he says, this is the only race worth running. I've run hard right to the finish, believed all the way. All that's left now is the shouting, God's applause. So Paul pressed, he forgot and he pressed simply because he realized it was worth it. And that's what we have to get to, folks. We have to realize living this life is worth it. Sometimes it feels that it's not, because of what you may have to go through, what you may have to endure. But in the long run, it's worth it. And you're going to have to press through some things. If you're going to press, you have to see it as being valuable. You have to see it as being precious. And it's so precious that you'll go through anything. Anything. When I was training, I wanted to run with the big boys when I was playing basketball. I wanted to play with the pros. Some of them, a lot of them, were more talented than I was. But I figured, okay, I may not have their level of skill, but nobody's going to be in better shape than me. Because I figured if I was in shape, eventually, I'd wear them down where their skill is no longer a factor. And that's what happened. If you looked at my line score, the majority of my points came in the last quarter because everybody else is sucking air and I'm ready to go. But I had to go through, put my body through some things that was just crazy. I'd run from Beach 156th Street in Far Rockaway to Beach 41st Street in the sand. And then run up to the 12th floor, take the elevator down, run back up to the 12th floor, take the elevator down, run back up to the 12th floor. I did it till I felt like I was going to pass out. Then I did it once more. Then I went to the park. And an hour or 2 hours working on one move. And then after that, I played a game and practiced that one move in a game. So why'd you do that? I felt it was worth it. So I did it. If you don't feel it's worth it, folks, you're not going to do it. You have to believe living this life in Christ is worth it. And whatever you have to go through, it's worth it. Because in the end, you win. If you can't see the value, you won't put forth the effort. We can't go any further until you get that squared away. Because we can talk, we can explain about pressing and how you press. But if you don't feel it's worth it, all that is useless. Because you won't do it. You have to believe that it's worth it. But there's another aspect of forgetting those things that are behind and pressing toward the mark. Have you ever wondered why there's so many provocative programs on TV and provocative movies out? You ever wondered how that happened? I'll tell you. You can hold on to seats, brace yourself. Tell your neighbor it'll be all right. Because you're not going to pray against something you enjoy. You're not going to pray against something you enjoy. So when these programs and things come on, you get home because, I don't know, I'm not going to ask you what are some of them because I don't want you to. But whatever they are, You rush home to watch them, and your child, did you see that episode and such and this and that and what, you know? But then we get upset. This is what amazes me. We watch it, we give it the ratings that keeps it on the air, then we get upset with our children for watching it and acting like it. You know, we have to get to the place where we no longer have a desire to see those things. Because as long as you enjoy it, you're not going to pray against it. And I found out that don't look back means more than just turning around and looking. And to best explain it to you, we're going to look at the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm reading from the International Children's Bible, because we may have some young children, and that's, this story can get pretty graphic. But the children's Bible puts it nicely. All right. Genesis 19, starting at verse 1, says, two angels came to Sodom in the evening. Lot was sitting near the city gate and saw them. He got up and went to them and bowed face down on the ground. Lot said, sirs, please come to my house and spend the night. You can wash your feet, then tomorrow you may continue your journey. The angels answered, no, we will spend the night in the city's public square. But Lot begged them to come to his house, so they agreed and went to his house. Then Lot prepared a meal for them. He baked bread without yeast, and they ate it. Before bedtime, all the men of the city surrounded Lot's house. These men were both young and old. Young and old. Why were the young ones there? They were doing what they saw the older ones do. And came from every part of Sodom. They called to Lot, where are the two men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us. We want to force them to have physical relations with us. All the men. Folks, understand something. This was the lifestyle of the people of Sodom. And so my first thought was, why was Lot there? You know, yeah, we know the story. He looked when he and Abram had to split up, and Lot looked out, and being greedy, he said, oh, that looks good over there. I'm taking that. But then when you get there and you find out how that the people are living, why do you stay there? You may not know. See, he started out being ignorant. But once you're there and you know what's going on, you're no longer ignorant. Now you're stupid. But he chose to raise his family in that lifestyle. The men around the house answered, move out of the way. Then they said to each other, this man Lot came to our city as a stranger. Now he wants to tell us what to do? They said, we'll do worse to you. So they started pushing Lot back, and they were ready to break down the door. But the two men, who just happened to be angels of the Lord, staying with Lot, opened the door and pulled him back inside the house. Then they closed the door. The two men struck the men outside the door with blindness, and this just tells you the depth of depravity. They're stuck with blindness. What do you think their next action should be? Somebody help me find my way home. These two men struck the men outside the door with blindness, so these men, both young and old, could not find the door. They're blind. They're still trying to find a way to get in. I mean, talk about being depraved. That city was so racked with sin, they didn't leave. They didn't say, somebody help me home. They're still trying to find a way to get inside. I would think being struck with blindness is a key that you need to leave. Then the two men said to Lot, do you have any other relatives in this city? Do you have any son-in-laws, sons, daughters, or any other relatives? If you do, tell them to leave now. Tell them to leave now. We are about to destroy this city. The Lord has heard of all the evil that is here, so he has sent us to destroy it. He said, leave now. When God tells you to move, move. That's not the time to negotiate. Especially if he says, and if he puts now on the end, he says, you leave now, leave. So we're about to destroy the city. Whoops. too fast. I apologize. Yeah. Okay. Got it. So Lot went out and spoke to his future son-in-laws. They were pledged to marry his daughters. Lot said, "Hurry and leave this city. The Lord is about to destroy it." But they thought Lot was joking. At dawn the next morning, the angels begged Lot to hurry. They said, "Go, take your wife and your two daughters with you. Then you will not be destroyed when the city is punished." But Lot delayed. So the two men took the hands of Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And this is nice. It says, and led them out safely out of the city. Probably drugged them out. So the Lord was merciful to Lot and his family. The two men brought Lot and his family out of the city. Then one of the men said, "Run for your lives. Don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Run to the mountains. I lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. Don't look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Run to the mountains or you will be destroyed." The angels were telling them, your life is dependent on three things: running away, not looking back, and pressing for the mountains. Folks, he said, don't stop in the valley. Never stop pressing in the midst of your circumstance. When the circumstance shows up, press even harder. But don't stop, ever. You have to keep going. You have to keep going. But Lot said to one of them, "Sir, please don't force me to go so far. You've been merciful and kind to me. You've saved my life, but I can't run to the mountains. The disaster will catch me and I will die. Look, that little town over there is not too far away. Let me run there. It's just a little town. I'll be safe there." And the angel said to Lot, "Very well, I will allow you to do this also. I will not destroy that town." Now, God was going through extra, extremes to save them. He said, "But run there fast." So they still had to press. "I cannot destroy Sodom until you are safely in that town." Verse 23. The sun had already come down when Lot entered Zoar. The Lord sent a rain of burning sulfur down from the sky on Sodom and Gomorrah. So the Lord destroyed those cities. He also destroyed the whole Jordan Valley, everyone living in the cities, and even all the plants. At that point, Lot's wife looked back. You can put that graphic up. Do we have it? Yeah. Lot's wife looked back and became a pillar of salt. You're looking at the Jordan Valley today. This is still there today. That's Lot's wife. Just leave it up there for a minute. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. Abraham looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and all the Jordan Valley. He saw smoke rising from the land. It was like smoke from a furnace. God destroyed the cities in the valley, but he remembered what Abraham had asked. So God saved Lot's life, but he destroyed the city where Lot had lived. Now, I thought something was very interesting. Lot never went back and look back at his wife. He never mentioned her. He was like, oh, well. He said, don't look back. He probably didn't know what happened to her, because if he's running forward and not looking back, he doesn't see that. See, Lot's wife was running, but see, she didn't forget those things that were behind, so she looked back. And look back doesn't just mean you turn around and look. Okay? When I studied out that word, it means to look intently at, to regard with pleasure, favor, or care, to have respect. It implies the location of your desire and affection. See, folks, what God is telling us, I'm taking you to another place. I've made you new creatures in Christ Jesus. You need to forget all the desires and things that you had in the past. And the problem is, we don't. We'll remember. I'm training myself, and I'm learning the best way to train, and I'll tell you what it is in a minute, the best way to train is to just not do it. I like the love songs from the 60s and the 70s, you know, but when they come on the radio and I listen to them, it immediately takes me back, and I don't want to go back. And so now I don't play the station. It's that simple. Because if I play the station, I don't know when a song's going to come on. So if I'm not, since all of the old conditions have changed, all of the old desires should have been changed also. They're all dead. What we've done is we've given them CPR because we enjoyed them. But see, Lot's wife wasn't excited about where she was going. Remember, it said it was a small town. She said, who am I going to hang out with? Nobody to go shopping with? You know, everything that I desired, everything that I enjoyed was back in Sodom. And now it's gone. And she looked back with a desire for things to remain the same. Something else about that. Why did you think God turned her into a pillar of salt? She could have just poof, disappeared. He could have turned her into sand. She could have just dropped dead on the spot. Why did he turn her into a pillar of salt? Because the scripture doesn't say so. So I had to dig deep. And I started reading articles and, you know, different letters and all of those things. And I found out, what was salt used for primarily? Today it's used for seasoning. But back then, what was it used for? As a preservative. And I started thinking about that. And God said, well, since you desire that, you're going to be preserved in your past. And that's where she's preserved in her past. Stuck there. Done. Finished. When you keep looking back, folks, you're going to wind up being preserved in your past. And no matter what you try and do, you're always going to be stuck. That's why you need to let it die and not look back. Because if you keep looking back, you're never going to press toward the mark. because you don't want to move forward. You want to stay where you are. And we have to get to the place where we move, where we're moving forward. Not to wax political, but it just fits. Everybody's up in arms over this new abortion law. Why do you think that happened? Because we were too busy doing other things that we weren't paying attention. We were too busy infighting. You know, we got sucked in to the whole political racism, all that stuff. And what did they do? They took us back to the 50s and 60s. They took us back there. And we went. And it brought out all of these emotions, all of these desires, and the enemy was just wheeling something in while we're stuck in the past. That's why it's so important for us to press toward the mark of the prize, because as we are pressing, things are revealed to us and we'll know what to do. But if we're looking back, we're never going to be aware of what's happening now, because all of our desires, all of our cares, everything that we're thinking about is in the past. We're looking back. And we're preserving it. And God does, if he wanted the past preserved, he wouldn't have said old things are passed away. That means old things are dead. He wanted them dead and he wants them to stay dead. And he wants us to live in this new determination of being in Christ. In Christ. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm in Christ. See, God's trying to move us into a better place, so he's telling us don't look back. He wanted Lot and his family to go to the mountain. He told them, run for their lives. He said, don't stop anywhere in the valley. Run to the mountain or you'll be destroyed. See, I remember first time I met my wife, after about 3 hours in the flower shop, I forgot my brother was with me. And it's hard to forget, he's an inch taller than I am. I just forgot. All I saw was Phyllis. Deacon Phyllis to you. No. And as I'm leaving, going out the door, I'm peeking back. Because I want to see if she's looking at me. So I'm walking back, I'm like, is she looking at me? Is she looking at me? You know? Because if I'm looking back at her and she's looking at me, there's a connection there. There's a connection. If she's just going back to Everett, I'm like, oh, well. But it wasn't, oh, well, it was, yeah. But that's what happened. You're looking back with a sense of longing. You're looking back because you want it reciprocated. And God is letting us know, don't look back. Now, just for clarity, it's okay to look back when you're remembering the things that God has brought you out of. That's fine. What God is talking about, looking back with that sense of longing, that desire, you know, that affection for what he's delivered you from, that you want to go back there. That's why it's very important that you understand that. Because you look, I look at the things God has done, and I look at the way God has brought me out, And it gives me a boost to keep going forward. Because if he did it once, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. So you never want to become preserved in your past. God has gone through... Now think about it. Why do you think Jesus went to the cross? Why do you think he spent that was willing to spend 3 days in hell because we were worth it. We were worth it. Think about that as you're pressing forward, because it's going to require pressing. The enemy's going to put up opposition, and we have to be smarter than that. We have to be able to see right through his schemes. You say, well, how do we do that? The Holy Ghost will guide you into all truth and will show you things to come. Period. He'll show you things to come. If your head's in the right place. Revelations 21, verse 1 to 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was now no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Amen. And he sat upon the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words, write, for these words are true and faithful. Folks, I'm going to end with this. Yes, there were a lot of things we enjoyed doing before Christ, but that was before Christ. Now we're in Christ, and all the former things have passed away. And we have to make sure they stay passed away. We have to. All those desires, all those things that we used to have, we have to, the Bible tells us to capture every thought. I like the translation says, capture every thought and make it obey Christ. So that's letting me know that we're still going to have thoughts come up about things we used to do. The devil's going to say, remember when? No. That's it, no. I don't remember when. And the Bible says the former things have passed away. So there is no remember when, because it's passed away. And you press. You keep going. It may cost you. I mean, it's cost me some Facebook friends. That's okay. That's okay. But I'm not going to get caught up in stuff. I'm not going to allow anything to bring me back. I'm not. What's that song we sing? I won't go back. Won't go back to the way things used to be before your presence came and changed me. We've been changed. We've been changed. And we have to start acting like we've been changed. When the world sees believers acting like believers, they'll start to respect who we are. But it's hard to respect someone when you see them doing the same things you're doing. There should be a distinct difference between a believer and someone in the world. Distinct. They should see it right away. You walk in a room, the atmosphere changes. It just changes. People change the way, when I'm in the barber shop, and I come in, and the owner, he had a mouth, you know. But I didn't condemn him, because that's where he was. I just continued to be who I was, and all of a sudden, he'd start changing his vocabulary. And when he had other clients come in, and I'm there, and they would start using some colorful words, he'd whisper something to them, and they'd say, "Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm sorry." I'm like, it's okay. You know, that's where you are. That's not where but I'm not going to change my language and say, "Oh, yeah, well, bippity, 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 bip to you too." No, I just be who I am. And the favor that we get, because we act like we are who we say we are. And I'm not going to stand in front of you and tell you it's easy. That's why you have to press. As someone once said, sometimes you want to dot someone's eye. But that's not pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. That's remembering how good it's felt to dot someone's eye. No, we can't do those things, folks. So I implore you, take the time and find out all you can about who you are in Christ, about being a new creature in Christ Jesus. New creature, that means it's something the world had never seen before. That's who we are. And that's what God expects us to be. I'll say this and then I'll quit. Say, your past is not a prophecy of your future. Your life will always be in front of you. You'll never find your life behind you. Amen. You got it? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful to your word. But then you're always faithful to your word. But we thank you, Lord, that this mess, your word given this morning, will be sealed in the hearts and minds of the people. And that they will commit to pressing and pressing and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus, because they realize that it is worth it. As the Apostle Paul said, it's the only race worth running. So we thank you for it, Lord. And we thank you for the fruit that's going to come from this lesson taught this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.